Just by joining hands, just find your neighbor to your right and your left and just pray for them that this year will be a great year, abounding with blessings, overflow. The anointing of God will touch their lives, reach them. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we lift up our brother and sister to our right and our left. We thank you so much for their lives. We thank you so much for your blessing, your favor. We thank you so much for increase. Lord, often we don't even know who we're standing or sitting beside in church. But Lord God, you know. You know their needs. You know their desires. You know their struggles. Father, for many of us, the struggle is real, but you are the answer. For many of us, Lord God, we couldn't do it on our own. We couldn't achieve what we achieve on our own. But with your hand, with your guidance, with your love, with your favor, with your blessing, with the abundant flow of your Spirit, Lord God, we know that you are able in us. You are able through us. You are able, Jesus. You are able, Lord. You are able, Lord God. We give you praise, Lord. We give you blessing, Father. Let your banner be raised and let your glory be seen in this year, Lord God, in the years to come, and the decade that will be the roaring 20s, because the Lion of Judah will roar. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Put your hands together for our Savior and our King and our Lord and our God. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Please take your seats this morning. If I haven't already said it to you personally, a big Happy New Year to you. 2019 was an amazing year. For Harvest, for so many reasons, there were so many new things started. Our year of new beginnings began in just a flurry of the goodness of God and just continued all the way through. I'm particularly proud of all our social care ministries. For those of you that didn't know or couldn't make it, couldn't get into the watch night service on New Year's Eve because it was so crowded, we had two overflows that were full. You may not have heard, but one area, one department that I'm particularly proud of and thankful to God for in this year just gone is our social care ministries, particularly our food bank, our Christmas lunch on Jesus. We gave over, I think we just gave 260 boxes away to feed the poorest people in the borough of Brent. So anyone involved in that, you need to clap for yourselves, whether you were a giver into that. For those of you that may not know, Christmas lunch on Jesus is like, it's a big hamper that we give to people. It feeds a family of six for 3 days. And then on top of that, we calculated that our food bank last year had given away over 60 tons of free food. 60 tons. So you need to clap for yourselves as well there, all the food bankers, all the generous people, the soup kitchen, the pantry we've got. I mean, we are roaring into the roaring 20s. Can you say amen? And nudge your neighbor and tell them it's the roaring 20s. So let the Lion of Judah roar. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you have your Bible with you, open with it with me to Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans, the fifth chapter. And I want us to start at the first verse. I want us to take our time today. We've got plenty of time. Hopefully you're not in a hurry. Your chicken won't burn. If you're still eating chicken, so many people have gone vegan for January. Just even the idea. I'm sorry. I'm such a carnivore. God forgive me. Mate, I'll carve it up myself if I had to. Bless Jesus. Anyway, the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Now, that word justified means literally just as if I never, ever sinned. That's how God sees us. Isn't that amazing? What a great way to start the new year, seeing ourselves the way God sees us. So many times, you know, we can see ourselves as wretched, as miserable, as failing, as short of everything that pertains to God's glory. But God sees us a different way because he sees us through the blood sacrifice of his son, Jesus. And it says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained our introduction. Say our introduction. You see, our salvation was our introduction to faith. You don't stop there. How many of you have ever read a book and you just stopped at the introduction? It's pointless. Or you wouldn't know what the rest of the book is going to say, right? So we received our introduction to the life of faith by being saved. We said something with our mouths. We confessed with our mouths the Lord Jesus. And we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that that's when salvation was activated in our lives. That is when we were saved. The Bible says that the schematics, the outline, the practical outworking of that occurred even before the foundation of the world. God made the way by the sacrifice of his own son. And literally, we stepped into that and we obtained an introduction to a new lifestyle called faith. You know, they talk about alternative lifestyle. Veganism now is an alternative lifestyle. It's been enshrined in law as a a philosophical and ethical lifestyle. So it's an alternative lifestyle. Some people I know, particularly there's 25 of them in the church in Malta that I preach in there, in River of Love in Malta. What a church. And there's 25 ex-gay and lesbian people in the church. They came out of the gay lifestyle. Into what? You see, God doesn't just take us out of something. He puts us into something. Through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith to the lifestyle of faith, to the lifestyle of the favor of God. That's what the word grace means. So literally, this lifestyle I live now can be called favor. It can be called faith. Now, here's the difficulty, my brother and sister. We don't know a lot about faith. We have what they call faith accidents. You know, you believe in God for something, you want it to happen, and you put certain laws into action by accident, and it worked, and you think, wow, God is good, hallelujah. But how many of you know, if you strip things down to the actual laws governing the thing, then you can get further? Can you imagine the first person who made a paper aeroplane? And they put the laws of aerodynamics into work. And they, whoosh, whoa, it flew, but it flew by accident. So then they start looking, they start discovering, they start writing down the laws. And they think, you know what? If we position air at a particular angle and we have these movable things by which something, then chances are it should be possible to actually get off the ground like that paper aeroplane did. And they put into work, they discovered the laws of aerodynamics. How many of you have been on a plane? How many of you haven't got a clue about the laws of aerodynamics? Put your hand up. I haven't got a clue. But we've all put it to work. Why? Because the guys governing it understood the laws, right? And this is what Paul the Apostle through the Holy Spirit, or should I say the Holy Spirit through Paul, is saying in this, particularly for this coming decade, that we have obtained an introduction to a new lifestyle, the lifestyle of faith in the favor of God in which we stand. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, I stand in the favor of God. Isn't that a great place to stand? In the natural, you might be standing at the bus stop. But in the realm of the spirit, you're standing in the favor of God. You might be standing waiting for a train or waiting for your wife. Anyone ever had to wait for that? Anyway, we won't go there. You see, in the natural, you'll be standing somewhere. But in the realm of the spirit, you are standing in the favor of God. Is there any better place to be? Any better place to be? I don't know it. Grace in which we stand. And then he gives us this introduction. Now, this introduction is the introduction into the world of hope. I've seen it in my spirit time and time again. People have faith accidents. People then put together this idea, right, I'm believing God. This decade, I'm going to get promoted. Or this decade, I'm going to upgrade my life. This decade, I'm going to own the keys to my own property. In this decade, I'm going to own my second home and third home. In this decade, I'm going to just go on just really beautiful holidays and take more leisure time out. In this day, none of you are believing God for any of this. Is that right? You're so quiet. You know, they talk about a church mouse, quiet as a church mouse. Mm-hmm. And you see, this is the roaring 20s. Sometimes if somebody says something like that, you've got to let that roar come out. You say, amen, I grab it by faith. You see, because the concept of faith comes out of your mouth. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that with the heart man believes, and with the mouth, confession is made. And the two of them coming together cause this conception called the outworking or the end of our faith. So our faith should have an end product where we should be able to believe God on purpose for things that he has told us in his word that belong to us. These things belong to us. So we've got to put something into action. This process called faith, we've got to find out what faith is made of. Now, my wife gave an illustration a few months ago, and Ralph, I'd love your help to bring it just on the platform, please. My wife gave this illustration. She said something that really triggered something in my spirit, and I've been preaching it ever since. She said, hope is like water, and faith is like ice. Now, here's the thing about water, right? See, the shape of this ice is like round, what would you call it? Anyone? Cuboid, but it's like a roundy cube, okay? Let's suppose that the mold that this ice was made in was in the shape of a car. What shape would the ice end up? A car shape, right? If it was shaped in the shape of a husband or a wife, then what shape would it be? Husband or wife shape, right? If it was shaped in the shape of, I don't know, an aeroplane, what shape would the ice end up? An aeroplane shape, right? Now, you see, this stuff is like hope, and this stuff, this ice, is like faith. You can't have the thing without the substance. You can't have the shape without the mold, right? And how we shape things by our words. We shape things by the word of God. We shape things by speaking and by seeing things as though they were before they are. Does that make sense? Right. Now, this is so important because to make this, we've got to have this. But as a body, the church generally has majored on the ice and not the thing that becomes the ice, the substance that becomes the ice, right? And so I want to just give you a little intro today into the world of hope. It says this, through whom we have obtained, verse 2, an introduction by faith into this favor in which we stand, and we exult in the hope, or in the, let me change that word, hope into movie. Let me explain. You see, hope paints a picture on the inside of you. It paints a series of pictures on the inside of you. And when you get really good at operating in hope, it paints a movie on the inside of you. So let's say, for instance, you've gone to the doctor. The doctors have told you that you're childless. There's absolutely no way that you can have a child. But the Bible says that he makes the barren rejoice as the mother of many children. Well, what do? The doctors are saying something. The word of God is saying something else. But you see, a lot of people will just cancel out what the doctor's saying. But they won't put into action what God is saying. And the Bible says that faith without works is dead. Right? So how do we put this thing into action? So for instance, for this substance, hope, to become baby-shaped ice, what shape mold do we have to have? A baby shape, right? Okay, so what does a baby-shaped mold look like? Look at what the Bible says. And I love this. I'm just using a miracle baby as an illustration because of what God said to us on New Year's Eve. And not only that, you see, but we've seen miracle babies here before. We've had several mums who were called barren by medical science having miracle babies. And I don't mean like Gilbert Deya babies. I mean real ones. Proper real miracle babies. You understand? And so there is a scripture. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. We'll visit there real quick. And then we'll go back to Romans 5. Isaiah chapter 26, and we'll start with verse 17. And this is the problem with a lot of people in the area of faith and hope. You remember now, we are effectively troubleshooting the past and engaging the future in this lifestyle called faith. It says in verse 17, as the pregnant woman approaches the time to give birth, she writhes and cries out in her labor pains. Thus we were before you, O Lord. Next verse. We were pregnant. We writhed in labor. We gave birth, as it seems, only to wind. I thought I was pregnant. But then, excuse the coarse nature of this, I did a massive fart. That's what they're saying. We were expecting something, but all we pushed out was methane. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, stop farting in 2020. This. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth. Anyone ever been there? You thought you were believing God for something and all that you generated was a stink. What do they call it? Stinky justice. Right? Now, what we got to do is effectively troubleshoot what was going on. What was happening to those projects? Anyone ever had a faith project that never came to pass? We've got to troubleshoot the thing. We've got to see how it works because, you see, faith works on purpose. But just like aviation, just like elevation, just like aerodynamics, it can work by accident too. Right. Gravity works all the time. Yes. If you don't engage the laws of aerodynamics, of lift, of aviation, how many of you know the laws of gravity will take over very quickly? And that's what it is. You see, the world of gravity that we live in holds us down. But there's a greater law, right? The Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And that's the favor in which I stand. That's the lifestyle which I have. So if anyone asks you, oh, you know, you've got an alternative lifestyle, what is that lifestyle? Tell them, favor. My lifestyle is faith. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, a sower went to sow. He calls him a sower. He doesn't call him a carpenter or a doctor or a policeman or an accountant. He calls him a sower So sowing is my lifestyle. That's how I'm doing. I'm living by my giving. I'm not bound by the laws of what the laws of 50 cent. You know what the laws of 50 cent is? Get rich or die trying. Yeah, we're not bound by those laws. We are bound by a higher law. And as long as we put to work the things that get us into that law, it will work for us all the time. Hallelujah to Jesus. If the laws of aviation didn't work all the time, then instead of a life raft under your seat, it would be a parachute. Can you imagine if the captain comes on and he says, this is your captain speaking, this plane, we're not sure whether the laws of aviation work anymore, so under your seat you'll find a parachute. How many of you would get off the plane straight away? Yeah, you see, these things work all the time. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It says by faith, women received their men back from the dead. The default was death, but faith enabled them to enact a higher law, the law of resurrection. Amen. For others, it says the opposite. It says some were sawn in two. How many of you would like to be sawn in two? Don't put your hand up. There's guys around London who would do it for you. Yes, they'll think they're doing God a favor. That's the day and age we live in. Praise the living Jesus forever. But we have a higher law. We have, you see, when people say God never fails, why is that? It's because the laws he's put into place never fail. Scripture says where God is. You see, God isn't looking over your situation. He's resting. The Bible says that a man planted a vineyard and then went on a journey. God's on a journey. He's not looking. He's left us laws to enact in our individual situation to get what we need. And those laws work every time. I can't get this water, put it into a car mold, and it comes out as a baby. It's impossible. And that's exactly the way the laws of faith work. Nudge your neighbor again. Tell them, stop farting in 2020. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what is this? How does this substance called hope come about? We need this thing. We need to be baptized in it. We need to receive the fullness of it. Look at what the scripture says. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5, and we'll start with the third verse. Romans 5, verse number 3. It says, and not only this, but we exult in our tribulations. How many of you are prepared to look weird? Anyone ever had a tribulation? Yes. And you're smiling and people are looking at you as if to say, like, what on earth is wrong with you? I'll never forget, there was a little boy, 14-year-old boy, by the name of Mison. You remember little Mison? Yes. And he was diagnosed at the age of 12 with a very vicious disease that caused endocarditis. In him. Those of you in medical, you know how bad that can be. His heart swelled to twice its size. It stunted his growth, and they thought he was going to die because the size of the heart was pressing on his lungs. Whatever infection had caused that thing, it wouldn't go away for about 18 months. And Elizabeth, who was part of Harvest Church, Elizabeth Ahonkai, some of you remember her. Well, little Mison was her nephew. And she called me, she said, Pastor P, she said, I've eventually persuaded my family that we should pray for me, son, and that we should, you know, ask God to heal him. Because I think it was like some of them were from a Catholic background, some of them were reluctant, etc., etc. She had a bunch of sisters. And so anyway, they gathered together, they thought, well, you know, what can be harm? Let's do it. So she said, can you come over and pray for us at a certain time? And when I was on the phone to her, the Lord was speaking into my other ear and he said, throw a party. Throw a party. He said, tell them to prepare a party. So I said to her, I said, well, this is what God is saying. Throw a party and I'll come. I'll pray for the guy. So we got into the apartment and they had, you know, lovely food like sausage rolls and canapes, just as though it was a party. And so, you know, we were eating, drinking, everything like that. And God said, well, now lay hands on him and go. That was it. So I laid hands on it. It was as casual. I mean, I mustn't have prayed more than 20 seconds. Father, Lord, I thank you for this champion. Thank you that he's healed. And I thank you, Lord God, we celebrate it with this party in Jesus' name. And then we left. Were you there, Temi? Were you at that party there? Yeah. And so that was it. We just left. About 2 weeks after that, the report came through from the doctors that his heart not only had started to shrink, but his breathing was back to normal and he was starting to grow physically again. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, that was a practical outworking of this scripture. We exult in our tribulations. Now, that doesn't, you see, you've got to follow the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean you stand beside a car crash going, hey, hey, hey. You understand, there's body of Christ, you have to balance everything. I know some of you wild, wacky, crazy-matic lunatics. Wow. You see, we've got to have the God side of this thing active, right? And he says, we exult in our tribulation, knowing. You've got to know this, that whenever you go through a tribulation brings about perseverance, right? Very important. Very important. If you don't have the Word of God residing on the inside of you, it's very difficult to go through tribulation this way. Next verse, number 4. Perseverance produces a substance called proven character. Proven character. When something is proven, it's because it's been tested. The laws of aerodynamics were tested long before you got on the plane. In fact, the aluminium, somebody from Boeing told me this, the aluminium on the wings of a plane, they said they test that thing so strong that they can bend the wings of the airplane over to touch the underneath of the airplane without snapping off. Wow. Isn't that good to know? Yes. When you sit outside, you look on the wings and you think, oh gosh, anyone ever feel precarious on a 36,000 feet high in an aluminium tube? Just me, okay, fair enough, you see, okay. But you see, people have tried, they've proven character. Proven character produces a substance that when we pour it into the correct mold can become the end of our faith. Does that make sense? It's very important that we know this. You see, because we could be in our prayer time and we could be knowing that the Word of God gives us what the Bible says, these great and precious promises, right? Salvation, healing, prosperity, ambassadorship. We could know that God has given us these things and yet never see them because we've not known how to put the substance to work. Now, I said earlier about the word hope being translated into the word movie, because you have to let the scripture paint the picture. Does that make sense? Some of you, you know, one of the greatest favors you can do yourself this year will be to go over this message again and again until it takes root. If there's anything that has brought about success in my life, in my family, in my ministry, it's been spiritual warfare and this. That's the absolute truth. Put into work these laws. I've seen people that really I wouldn't have much time for succeed more in these laws than many people that I know in the body of Christ, because they just know how to put them to work. I remember there's a very famous singer who, when she was interviewed, she said that part of her lifestyle, part of her routine, was to sit down and close her eyes. Now, I don't even know if she was born again. She certainly didn't behave like she was. And she would write out all the things that she wanted in life as though she had them now. Doesn't that sound familiar? The Bible talks about Abraham behaving like God, who quickens the dead and calls into being those things that are not as though they were. Interesting, isn't it? Yes. and calling. You see, I called myself prosperous when I was eating Safeway value pasta. You remember Safeway?
Yes.
Well, you know pasta? They had value pasta. In other words, when they finish making the pasta that you guys eat, they will sweep the floor, mash it together, and that would be value pasta. And then I will have Happy Shopper ketchup. Now, I'm not talking just regular ketchup. I'm talking like Happy Shopper ketchup. The one that glows in the dark. You know that one where you turn it? It's luminous, right? God knows what's in it. I mean, Lord have mercy. That was, do you remember when we first bought our own place? And we were just desperate to get by. But you see, I was calling, you see, this Bible didn't change. This Bible called me the head and not the tail. It called me above and not beneath. It called me the lender to many nations and not the borrower. And I just couldn't help it. I had to agree with this. I had to exult in my tribulations when I open the fridge door and there's a carrot looking at me. Anyone been there? That's called carrot level prosperity. When you open the fridge door and that's it. There's a carrot looking at you. And I had to call myself the head and not the tail. I had to allow that scripture to paint a picture on the inside of me. What would prosperity look like? What would prosperity look like? I developed the strangest idea of prosperity, but it worked for me. And it was this, that I would live in a house with two toilets and that I would have a table where I couldn't fit my hand around the table legs. Literally, I could put my hands together and it wouldn't fit. A thick-legged table and a house with two toilets somehow said to me, that was like a milestone. What did Kenyon call it? A signpost on the road to success. And I remember, and we moved into our house just outside St. Albans, and we had two toilets. And we went to this place on the North Circ. You remember that? The furniture store on the North Circular Road, and they had a closing down sale. And this table that we bought was reduced from £1,450 down to something like £700 or £800 with six chairs and with legs so thick I couldn't put my hands around it. I said, that's it. I am now a prosperous man. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, can you imagine if I give that testimony to somebody like Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg? They would think, poor boy. You see, but prosperity is relative. Poverty is relative. And that's the great thing about it. You see, that's why God doesn't care about this kind of stuff. This is the kind of stuff that we put to work ourselves. We create this substance on the inside of us called hope that we then pour into the mold that the Word of God creates on the inside of us. And that then, over that time and over that process, the tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And then what does it say? Next verse. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. So love has a major part to play in this thing. I've got to walk in love for the sake of bringing about the things that I desire. You see, God doesn't care what you drive. He doesn't care if you're a janitor or a managing director or a company owner. He leaves that to this realm called the realm of desire. Jesus left us laws there that we can apply into the realm of desire to bring about the next level of whatever we desire. Jesus has already bought and paid for it on the cross. The Bible says his blood has brought about salvation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Who washed us from our sins in his own blood. So it's done. Salvation is done. The Bible says he's able to save to the utmost. What does utmost salvation look like? I hope I experience it. Amen. The laws concerning my healing, concerning my wholeness, concerning my well-being, concerning my divine health, concerning my divine life, have already been put together at the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement necessary for me to obtain peace. You see, I say me because if I was the only person alive who'd still believe this thing, it would still work for me. The chastisement necessary for me to obtain peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah to Jesus. So my healing has already been bought and paid for in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, right? How do I put it to work? I exult in my tribulations. I fight every form of sickness. Even if I start to sniff, I'm fighting that thing. Why? Because I'm exulting. I'm still praising you, Jesus. There might be snot running down my nose. There might be tears coming down my eyes. I might hardly be able to speak because my throat is swollen up like a balloon. But I'm exulting in my tribulations. Why? Because tribulation is producing perseverance, and perseverance is producing character, and character is producing hope, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. So one day, I get my breakthrough. I remember when I got my breakthrough concerning my health, January 1989. I was reading Kenneth Hagin's book on divine healing. Healing belongs to us. Snot running out of me. My throat swelling up like a balloon. Didn't care. I said, Father, I know this thing belongs to me. Help me to fight the good fight. Help me to challenge this thing. Help me to get the breakthrough. I started to see myself well and healthy. And God is my witness. You can ring the bank yourself. In 1989 to 96, in 7 years, I didn't have more than about 4 or 5 days sick. In 7 years. Sickness just, it doesn't like me. In fact, let me go so far to say sickness is allergic to me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Sickness is the foul offspring of his father, Satan, and his stepmother, sin. Doesn't belong to us. Doesn't belong to us. Healing, wholeness, well-being, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I heard someone say once concerning when Jesus touched the leper to make him clean. And the Holy Spirit said to him, don't you think that that leprosy tried to come on me when I touched that man? Interesting, isn't it? Why not? You see, it's gonna do its job. If you touch a leper, the default is leprosy. But there's a higher law. Amen. Higher one. Higher one. Higher one. You stand on a TB-ridden tube on the way to work in London. We narrowly missed, a lot of people don't know this, we narrowly missed a TB epidemic in London. There was a behind-the-scenes public health emergency between 2008 and 2012 in London. We missed it, thank God. Did you know about that, Doc? Did they tell you about that? They did, yeah. Not many people know. They kept it in the medical field and public health, and we narrowly missed it. But thank God, you see, when I'm standing there on the tube, strap hanging or whatever, and I'm just saying, he was wounded. Somebody sneezes beside me, and like, you know, what's the default? Hang on a second. What's the default? Hate the person. Look at the person. Ugh, you dirty thing. No, the Bible says the love of God. When they sneeze, bless them. I said it, I'll never forget it. I was queuing up in Home Base in Arnos Grove. And I was waiting to pay for my stuff, and there was a young lady, she looked like a Muslim lady, she had the hijab on and everything like that, and she was at the checkout working away very hard, and she sneezed. And I said, God bless you. She said, thank you. God is my witness. The blessing of God, I saw it rest on her. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Just because she thanked me for blessing. My words are powerful. May you realize the power of your words in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you catching something? Good, good, good. We'll round it off. We'll round it off. Hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What does love look like in relation to salvation? It means I share my faith. And not only that, but I make sure my faith is full of power to achieve results by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in me by Christ Jesus, Philemon 6. I share my faith with people. Tell them God loves them. Tell them there's a better way. There's a lot of people living in London, they don't know there's a better way. They think this is it. They think 3 meals a day and a decent send-off at your funeral is a life. Horrible way to live. Horrible. There's a greater way. What does love look like concerning healing? It looks like we don't keep it to ourselves. It looks like we press into healing just so that we don't become carriers of this nonsense ourselves. I remember a couple of times the devil got the better of me where, you know, concerning sickness and I had to go to bed and everything like that. But in my bed, I will pray, Father, whatever has tried to take over my body, Lord God, not only will I defeat it, but it stops with me. In Jesus' mighty name. I'll pray for people when they're sick. That's the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. What does it look like concerning prosperity? Number one, it means that I want other people to prosper too. One of my prayers for you guys is, Lord, let them prosper and be in health even as their souls prosper. Just can't keep it to myself. It means I'm a giver. It means I'm a sower. I'm looking for opportunities to plant seed in people's lives. Financial, material seeds. Something that means something. That's what it looks like. What does it look like in the realm of ambassadorship? It means I'm going to go. You see, the Bible says that although he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might be made rich. So prosperity has already been bought and paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ. Ambassadorship has been bought and paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So anyone want to look at what the righteousness of God looks like? Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. I can't do it. I'm not an auntie. I haven't. You know, you need a certain rear end to be able to do that one. Anyway, we'll get there in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Ambassadorship. It means I'll go. If God says that certain nations with a no entry sign on it to the gospel, I see China's just put up the no entry sign to the gospel. What a stupid move. Anyone watching in China, God bless you. We're coming. We are coming. What a stupid thing to do. You reach number 2 in world GDP and then you do something stupid like that. My goodness me, may God forgive them. May God release the power of the Holy Spirit into China like never before. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, we'll slay that dragon in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Nations with a no entry. Yes, Lord, I'll go. 2/3 of God's name is go. I'll leave that one with you. Praise God. Has this been help?
Yes.
I pray that if you listen to this thing, let me do a Joel Osteen. I believe if you listen to this message over and over till it sinks in your spirit, I believe and declare this decade will be your greatest ever. Yes. Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Let's thank God for his word. Father God, we thank you so much for what hope means. We thank you so much, Lord, as we feed our hope on your word. Thank you that your word separates us into what we should become. Separates us from everything that's lacking, everything that's failing, the world, the flesh, the devil, all that kind of stuff, Lord God. It just melts away when your word is burning richly on the inside of us. As we enter this decade, Father, we enter it with thanksgiving. We enter it with praise. We thank you for the year and the decade that's gone. Lord God, we lay out a fresh start. Let hope be strong in every heart under the sound of my voice. We give you the praise and the glory for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.